Good to see you this morning. If you got a Bible, wave it at me. Wave it at me. Come on, be proud of it. Thank God. I hope you have the right kind. Somebody say amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 1. I want to say to our first-time attenders, glad you're here. Brother Preacher Travis, it's good to see you and your family here. Stan, Travis Kerlak, I want the church family to meet you. This is a great man of God. Have your whole family stand. Thank God for you. It's good to have him. Give him another little welcome, all right? And we had another visitor over here, I think. God bless you. Thank you, Travis, for being here. Brother Blake, you have a friend with you, I think. We're wonderful. It's good to be out the house of God. Sam Barnett and Deb is here this morning. Good to see y'all back there. Some of our folks are going through it this morning. I want you to pray for the O'Brien family. Sister Judy is getting ready to pass over to the other side. And I want you to pray for that family. Also, I got news from that family. Raina's dad, they give him just a month to live. And I want you to pray for that family. Kim Winnington, one of my buddies. Kim is just not doing well. I want you to say an extra prayer for Kim. Sister Haynes, I love you, Sister Haynes. I know you've got some bad news, but I want you to know I've got a Savior. Malachi says it like this. He's got healing in his wings. And I'm glad for God that can heal and touch. Well, go with me to Romans 1. I got a lot of preaching, and my daughter told me I had to be done by 11:30. She's a feminazi, and so I'll try to obey her today. But I'm going to preach some this morning. Romans chapter number 1, I have this on my heart. It's burning. But I want to say this, give you an advertisement. Come out tonight. I'm going to start a series that will be so informative in the next several weeks. I'm going to go into a lot of issues of our day. And I don't want you to miss tonight's first sermon in that area. And I want you to be here. It's going to be wonderful. Romans chapter number 1, go down to verse number 13. And I'll read down through verse number 17 and bring you a thought this morning. The Apostle Paul says, now, I would not have you ignorant brethren. By the way, Paul uses that a lot in his preaching. How many agree we're in an ignorant society? No, we got an intellectual society, and a society thinks they're in the know. I want you to really know this. We're really living in an ignorant, blind, wicked time. Somebody help me preach. He said, I purpose to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready. Somebody help me. I'm ready to preach. I want you to know something. This world is eat up with entertainment. It even has crept into our church. And by the way, I'm for singing, I'm for worship, I'm for praise, but I ain't much for entertainment. Somebody say amen to me. I think we can stay by the old stuff. We can still praise a great God. But I want you to know, Paul said, I didn't come to entertain. I came to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And here's our text. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the dark day that we're living, and let's not try to smooth it over, we are in dark days. And I wanted to talk about an issue or two. I don't have time. But we're in dark days. And in the book of Romans, Paul is getting ready to preach to a crowd that was wicked and ungodly. Not unlike the crowd in our world today that's wicked and ungodly. Paul, or Saul, surfaces in the book of Acts. He's the one that got Stephen stoned. Somebody help me preach. He's the one that got Stephen stoned. He even considered and had his clothes, Stephen's garments, dropped at his feet. The Bible said this about Saul, that he went out to make havoc of the church. He was on his way to Damascus with letters in his hand. You say, what was those letters? That's names of Christians that he was going to kill and persecute. And his job and what he was going to do is to put the church out of business. But I want to tell Saul, and I want to tell Mr. Biden, and I want to tell Pelosi, and I want to tell this wicked world, you're not going to put the gospel out of business. You're not going to put the church out of business. We're not going down. We're getting ready to get out of here. Lord, have mercy. On that road to Damascus, and he run into something. He didn't run into a beast. He didn't run into a robber. He didn't run into an unexpected chariot. No, Paul ran into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of his life, his whole life, was committed to every city he went. Whether it be Antioch or Seleucus or Salamis or Paphnus or Perga or Pisidia or Iconium or Ephesus or Corinth or Tarsus. Everywhere he went, he was proclaiming the gospel. Now he wanted to go to this powerful city, this proud city, this ungodly city. And by the way, Rome was ungodly. And I want to tell you how Rome failed. I don't want to rub a rabbit, but I am going to rub one. You know how they fell? They didn't fall from without. They fell from within. You want to know how America's going to fall? We're not going to fall from without. We're going to fall from within. We've got a corruption right now in this world that is so wicked. But I want you to know something. There's nothing greater, nothing stronger, nothing more mighty than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of the power of Rome could produce what the gospel did. The money of Rome could manufacture what the gospel did. None of the soldiers of Rome could conquer how the gospel conquers. Somebody help me. I want all y'all to know, when I got saved, I got a new master. I got a new Lord. I got redeemed. I got delivered. I got washed in the blood. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm on my way to heaven. I was like a lot of you. During the Easter holidays, I did make a trip to the mall. God have mercy. If you want to get your eyes open, go to the mall. Before I left there, I felt almost violated. Somebody help me preach. And I want you to know, in this postmodern world, I am still not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Here's what I see the problem being. We have got ashamed why the world has got proud. Somebody help me preach. We've got ashamed. Now, I want you to know something. I'm not trying to throw off on nobody, but I have to. You know, I hate when I see these boys running down with their drawers all the way down here. You know, I can't stand it. But really, what really got me mad the other day at the mall is now them women are doing the same thing. And they, some of them need to pull their pants up. Somebody help me preach. And I looked at them and I thought, what can help them? They look so lonely. They look so deprived. And I said in my heart, I know, it's the gospel. I want to preach just a few minutes. And I'll be done. On why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Four things, I'll be done. Number one, in verse number one, I'm not ashamed of it because of the origin of the gospel. Somebody help me preach. Yeah, first of all, it is a divine gospel. You said, why? Look at verse number one. It's called the gospel of God. It's not the gospel of the Baptists. It's not just the gospel of the Methodists. It's not the gospel of John Smith. No. It is the gospel of God. My gospel won't save you. My words can't save you. My words can't turn your life around. But I want you to know what I'm preaching about this morning can turn you around. Somebody help me preach. Thank God, not only is it a divine gospel, it's a declared gospel. How many raise your hand up and remember the day you got saved and the gospel got declared to you? Woo! Amen. Even Job said, you know what Job said way back there? I know my Redeemer liveth and will stand on the earth in the last day. It's a delightful gospel. Man, it'll bring joy where the shame is. It'll deliver you from sin and from ungodliness. And what a delight the gospel is. Somebody help me preach. Then I want you to notice number two. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. My obligation to the gospel. All right, listen to me. You know what Paul said in 1A? He said, I'm a servant. You know, I want to stop a minute. Let me slow down a minute. I don't know where we've got. I don't know how we got here. But some of us think we're something. There's a bunch of us think we've almost arrived. Some of us in the church, we're so polished with what we think we know, we think we've arrived. And we're so intellect and we're so smart. I want you to know what Paul said about himself. He said, I'm a servant. Instead of us feeling like we're so entitled for people to pat us on the back, we ought to get the mindset that we're bond slaves, that we're servants, that our obligation is to get the gospel out. Somebody help me. And then he said, I'm separated. What it meant is I've been called, I've been separated, I've been called from my mother's womb. I am a man of God. I've been separated for a purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has slipped into the world. Now, I'll tell you what we've got. We've almost made our churches into social houses and social places. And, well, let's come to the bake sale. Let's come to this sale. Let's come to the whatever, auction and all that. Hold it a minute. That's the world's terms. We come to the church to get preached to. He said, I'm seeing it. But I'll tell you what else he said. I'm serious. You know what he said? Oh, I hope you get my heart this morning. I'm a debtor, verse 14, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He said, I'm serious. I'm a debtor. I want y'all to know something. I live in Taze Valley or Hurricane. And I want you to know I'm a debtor to this community. I'm a debtor to my state. I'm a debtor to my world, and my call is to get the gospel. See, that's God's burden, and it ought to be our burden. Somebody, hey, we don't like how the Calvinists operate. Then why are we acting like them and not getting the gospel out? Somebody say amen right there. Somebody help me preach. I've got an obligation. We need to be serious. I want you to know, ain't nothing more serious than a soul falling into hell and burning forever and ever and ever and ever and being separated from God and separated from family and lost for that. There's nothing more serious than that. And this is what bothers me. I think we lost a burden. We've almost become professional at this. I want you to know something, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Every lost man and every ungodly man and every sinful man, we are debtors to this morning. Whew. Good preaching, Reverend. Number three. I'm hurrying. This is the one I really want to spend some time on. I want to talk about the operation of the gospel. Look at verse 16. The operation of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Whew. For it is the power unto God, of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and to also the Greek. First of all, it operates through a person. Somebody help me preach. Not an organization. Not just a church body. No. That's not the operation of the gospel. The church doesn't save anybody. The church has no efficacious power. It's a person, and it's Jesus. Amen. Not Muhammad. Right. Not Buddha. Right. Not a cow that your grandma was named after. Jesus. There's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Amen. I'll tell you what, we'd do a lot better if we quit saying, well, come to our church because we got a good choir. That's not a bad idea, but come to our church because we got a good preacher. That's true. No. Come to our church because we preach Christ. Somebody help me. The person, then notice the power. That word power comes from the word didymos, where we get our word dynamite. I want you to know something. Hear me out. I don't care how deep you got in sin, how far gone you think you are. The gospel has power to deliver your soul. You might say, well, I'm not that wicked. You're lost. Come on, help me preach. You say, I'm trying to come to church. I'm trying to be moral. Morality will keep you out of jail. But only the blood will keep you out of hell. I'll tell you how much power it has. It took this bartender's boy, who served in the bar, who my life was headed for destruction, and delivered me lost. Woo! That's how much power. There's not one drop of alcohol the gospel can't overcome. There's not one needle the drug addict puts in his arm that the gospel can't deliver him from. Somebody help me. There's not one portfolio or pornography that the gospel can't deliver you from. Whew, it's got power. It's got power. Some of you say, I'd be saved, but I don't know if I can live it. Hold a minute. It ain't yours to live. is Him to live through you. And Lost Gale, I've got a gospel that'll help me and give me power to live a Christian life. You all right? I'm hooked here for a minute. Power. There's some of you right here this morning. I'm going to slow down. You've let the devil almost get you to a place where you're ready to go to hell. And if you keep rejecting God, you're going there. But I got a God this morning will deliver you and bring you to Christ and change your life forever. Then the product unto salvation. Oh, listen, if all you got is the church, then all you got's religion. And if all you got is that you've been baptized, all you got is you've been wet. If all you got is a new leaf, when the wind blows, it'll turn the leaf over. But my gospel, Paul says, will change, will turn around, will put you on the right road. Somebody help me preach. Then fourthly, I'm done. Whew. I've enjoyed preaching this morning. The outreach of the gospel. I like this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Somebody help me with this part. To everyone. Somebody say it. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I like this. Reaches to every creature. How far does it reach? I'll tell you how far. It reached out to this old bartender's boy and saved me by the grace of God. Woo! By the way, before I go any farther, sinner, see this darkness that you were just in? If you go to hell, you'll be in outer darkness where they're weeping and wailing and gnashing of truth. You said it made me uncomfortable. How about me? I'm trying to preach. Then it's indisputable. Amen. Hey, how many of y'all agree with me? The devil's trying to fight this sermon. There's somebody in here who needs to be saved. There's somebody in here that needs to come and get saved. Because I want you to know, I'm in a war right now. It's indisputable to everyone that believeth. Now listen to this carefully. It will save anybody. But nobody can be saved unless they trust God by faith. Somebody help me preach. See, you can lay near the gospel and still die and go to hell. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to close. I got a few more points, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to close. Can I illustrate all what I said this morning? Can I illustrate it? I want you to go, if you can, in your imagination. I'm going to give you one of the best illustrations I know about getting saved. I want you to go into the courtroom, God's courtroom. In that courtroom, you'll find two tables. You'll find the table for the prosecutor and the table for the defendant. And you'll find a throne where the judge sits. You'll have a prosecutor and you'll have a defendant. And by the way, the prosecutor is Satan himself. And sitting on the bench is none other than God the Father. And I want you to know, Satan is a liar, a scoundrel, and he wants to destroy your soul in hell. And he walked up to the defendant's table and threw shackles on him, on his hands and his feet. And was escorting him to the lake of fire, to hell. Excuse me. All of a sudden, in the back of the courtroom, the doors opened. And a man walked in a white robe and said, "I got something to say." And the devil said, "Who you think you are?" And he started saying, "Well, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. I am the fairest of 10,000s to your soul. 7 years before I ever was born, Isaiah said I was wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm the Lamb of Glory. I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the faithful witness. I'm the resurrection and life. I am the stone that the builders disallowed. I'm the star of Bethlehem, the rose of Sharon. I'm Adonai, El Shaddai, Elohim. I'm the rock of your salvation. A firm foundation, a faithful friend. Somebody help me. My name is Jesus. I am the Son of God. And I am God the Son. I am omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. I am immutable, eternal, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm everything. I'm the door of deliverance. I'm the pathway of peace. I am the highway of holiness. I'm the master of the mighty. I'm the head of the heroes. I am a man that you can't explain me. And you can't get me off your mind or out of your head. You can't outlive me. And you can't live without me. Pilate couldn't find any fault. And they can't impeach him. And they can't vote him out. And all of a sudden, he walked up to the judge. And he put on the judges. Podium, the blood. And the judge looked at the defendant, struck his gavel, and said, "Justified." Ladies and gentlemen, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Sinner man, sinner lady, sinner young person. You're in the courtroom. The judge is ready to say guilty or innocent. The prosecutor says you're guilty. You want the blood applied? Simply by faith. Trust it this morning. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. And I want you to really be honest with me. Because I really believe God has orchestrated this service, even though it might have scared all of us to death, to get you saved. When the lights get turned out, where are you going to be? How many know if Jesus came right now, you died right now, you know you're going to heaven, raise them up high. And don't raise them if you don't know. God bless you. How many right now say, "Preacher, now no one's looking but me, and I won't embarrass you. I promise. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't want to die and go out. I see that hand. I'm going to pray for you, honey. I believe God's convicting you real hard right now." How many others say, raise your hand and say, "I'm not saved. I see that hand, ma'am. I see it. Sir, I see that hand too." Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Before I go, maybe a young person, maybe mom, dad, grandma. Now, I want to say to both, "I see that hand back there too. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's hard for me to quit. I'm trying to move." Somebody else, raise your hand. "I need Jesus. I don't need religion. I don't need denominationalism. I need Jesus. I need deliverance." Now, I want you to do something for me. everyone that raised your hand, here's what I want you to do. Don't you let the devil stop you. I want you, as we sing, the congregation's going to stand. I want you to walk right out of your seat. Let them take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Please don't leave here. The lights went off for a reason, to show you they're going to go off one of these days. And I want you to get right with God. Stand with me. I'll pray. Every one of you, raise your hand. Please come up here right now, right now, right now, right now. Father, right now, touch all three, four, or five people. Save them in this morning. Jesus' name, amen.